Hey guys, welcome to episode 19 of the Mysterious Benedict Society Read Aloud Podcast, Book 4. Today we'll be reading chapter 19, first a recap of chapter 18. Kate had just finished rewiring the electrical panel right before the glass stadium barriers came down, which she wasn't supposed to do, but did anyways. McCracken arrived at the glass stadium barrier, where Rennie and Constance were on the other side. He taunted them as usual and gave Rennie an offer, that the Tin Man would not hurt them and would even help them if he let them have Constance. Rennie turned down his offer immediately. The children's plan was going accordingly, but they very narrowly missed an attack by the Tin Man. They found themselves in the main control room and discovered a safe room. One of the Tin Men got into the computer system and managed to change the 24-hour lockdown into a 24-minute lockdown, but Rennie thinks this is a good thing and could even help them. So that's the end of the summary, but before we begin today's episode, I have two shout-outs to give and a question to answer. So first, a shout-outs to Isabel and Eliza McFarlane. I hope I said that correctly. Anyways, thank you for listening, and I hope you are both having a fantastic morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on where you are. And now to the question from PeacePopX2 about which days I post my podcast episodes. Okay, so that's a great question, and I'm very happy to answer it. I post twice a week, and I know the times vary for everyone since I have listeners all around the world, but I base my posting time off USA Eastern Time at 3 p.m. on Mondays and Thursdays. So if you'd like, you can figure out what time I post for you wherever you live from that knowledge. I am also aware that Daylight Savings Time just started where I live, and I will be posting according to that as well. So if you live somewhere that does not celebrate that, the timing may be a little off for you. Okay, I hope that answered your question. I tried my best. So without further interruption, let's begin the episode. Chapter 19, Of All Times and Places. They solved our problem for us, Rennie said, speaking quickly. When that barrier at the entrance goes up, so will the ones over the doors that lead to the security suites, both the empty ones and Mr. Curtin's, and we'll be ready. Constance, you and Ty and Sticky will be waiting at the barrier that leads to Mr. Benedict. Kate, you'll be waiting at the one that leads to the other security suites. I know, just give me a second, he said when everyone began to speak at once. The others fell silent. The reason you'll be over there, Kate, Rennie explained, is because we need McCracken to see someone going in that direction. We need to lure them away, and you're the obvious choice. If you can draw them deep into that section, and you can steer yourself off from them in the safe room. And then, from here, I can seal them off by dropping the barriers again. George can show me the command sequences, the Tin Men will be stuck, and they won't be able to get anyone. We can have a whole army of law enforcement waiting here when the barriers go up in 24 hours. In the meantime, Rennie went on, the rest of you will be on safe on the other side of your own barrier, figuring out how to get to Mr. Benedict, and you'll have plenty of time without McCracken breathing down your necks. I kind of like it, said Kate. I also kind of hate it. What happens if I don't manage to get them to follow me? Or what if they split up? You'll be a sitting duck in here. Rennie turned to Sticky. Do you think Kate's backup will hold up a barrier? Sticky looked dubious. It might. You're thinking I could place it so the barrier wouldn't go all the way to the floor. Right, and I could follow you and squeeze under the barrier if I had to make a run for it. First of all, it's risky, Sticky said. Second of all, shouldn't you be the one going to Mr. Benedict? I already know what to do on the computer here, and you're our best problem solver. I told you there was one more thing to figure out by using the gold key. Yes, but we have walkie-talkies, Rennie argued. I could still help you from here. Kate huffed with exasperation. That works both ways, Rennie Muldoon. Why couldn't Sticky use the walkie-talkies to help you? You should be there. You might notice something the rest of us would miss. Well, but Sticky has the serum. That's ridiculous, Constance barked, as if Sticky could just give you his backpack. What in the world are you thinking? Oh, exclaimed Ty. He's thinking that because he's suggesting a risky plan, he should be the one who takes the risk. Rennie grimaced. Thank you, Kate said. Finally, something that makes sense. Also, Rennie, you have got to stop doing this. Doing what? Rennie asked, though he knew the answer. He crossed his arms, feeling strangely upset. It was because the uncomfortable truth was coming all out, he realized. Of all times and places, here it came. Trying to do things your own way, Kate cried. I mean, it's fine to do things your own way, but not when we're working together as a team. Think about it. What would have happened if I'd done what you said and skipped the electrical panel? What kind of mess would we be in then? She's right, said Sticky, who felt upset in much the way Rennie did, though he was less certain of the reason. He only knew that he was afraid of the conversation. But here they were, having it. I thought it made sense when you mentioned it, I admit. But we should have trusted her, just like you should have trusted me when the full truth about those blueprints. You could have told me there was a time limit. I don't like being under pressure, true, but I could have handled it. These are the things you're complaining about? Rennie realized. He felt hurt and angry and was struggling not to. You all realize that I've been doing my best under extreme pressure, right? I'm supposed to be this great problem solver, but what I see what looks like the best solution. I'm not supposed to act on it? Wasn't there so much at stake? Not without asking us first, Kate said. Unless you have absolutely no choice, you'll have to bring us in. If we fail, we fail, but at least we do it together. We're still a team, right? You haven't gone off to be some star student at a university yet, you know. Rennie was taken aback. What's that supposed to mean? What does that have to do with any of this? She means, Tiggy began, then cleared his throat to when he found his voice trembling with emotion. She means that we know you feel like we're holding you back, but as long as we're still here, shouldn't we? Here Siggy's voice cracked, and he didn't finish. Are you being serious? Rennie asked. He looked back and forth between Kate and Sticky. That's what you think, but it's the exact opposite. I've always felt like I'm at my best because of you. I don't know. Other people go to universities, and I had these opportunities, and I figured I should consider them, and he shrugged. The truth is that I don't know what I want to go right now. That idea scares me. It would be much easier to stay home with all of you. But you know, obviously, that isn't going to last forever. You both have your own plans. He trailed off, avoiding their gazes. Why are we talking about this right now? Ty asked in a hushed voice. It's so weird. He was looking anxiously from face to face. The question is why we haven't talked about it sooner, Kay said. I guess speaking for myself, it's that whole thing that made me uncomfortable. I don't like the thought of us splitting up, even if I do want to become an agent, like Milligan. So I've just avoided the subject, which I realize is dumb. Same here, Sticky said. I've been afraid of feeling hurt, but I was feeling hurt anyway, so why not come out and talk to it with my closest friends? I would trust you with everything else, but not this? It's ridiculous. It is ironic, Rennie said with a sheepish smile. We've done an awful lot of dangerous things, but we've been afraid to have a conversation. He took a deep breath, let it out, and said, I'm really sorry. I don't know why. It's because he wants to protect you, Ty announced. Wow, Rennie, your thoughts are really loud right now. You feel like you made mistakes because you love them and want to protect them so much, but you don't always do it the right way. Rennie blinked. Oh my goodness, Ty. Okay. Kate laughed. Ty, someone needs to tell Rennie that we all want to protect him too. I think sometimes problem solvers just want to control things a little too much. It was at this point Constance broke. She had been following this conversation, in which she seemed not to be included at all, with a rising fury. All her feelings suddenly concentrated into single emotion, and Constance screamed. So loudly and piercingly did she scream that all the others cried out and covered their ears and looked wildly about them for the source of her anguish. Then she stopped screaming and turned her red eyes on Rennie, Sticky, and Kate, who instantly understood that they were the source. What about me? Constance demanded. You all think you've done a bad job talking to one another? Do any of you remember that there used to be a fourth member of the society? I know I'm a lot younger than you, and I didn't used to think that about that very much, but I'm not a little kid anymore, and I'm still supposed to be part of the team, am I not? You all make your secret plans and have your secret discussions, and you've all been thinking about whether or not it was okay to go away and do your own things. But all you're worried about is each other. Have you ever considered what it would be like for me if you all go? I don't have any friends my own age. I don't have any friends at all. I'm your friend, Ty said, raising his hand. Constance ignored him. Yes, I know that you've had to keep some things from me to be on the safe side because of the listener and Ty, which, by the way, I'm telling you right now that I can handle. I know I keep the listener out of my head now and out of Ty's too if he's with me. Just for your information, you know, in case anyone cares about anything going on with me? No, let me finish. The others, all of whom had begun to speak, closed their mouths. I get that part, Constance went on. I really do. But the rest of us is really unfair, and I guess it's just going to say right now because I may never have the chance again. It just seems pretty clear to me that you're all important to one another than I am to you, and it really hurts, and I hate it. You especially, Rennie. You used to be the best at making me feel like I was part of things, but not anymore. Thanks for forgetting about me. That's all. With that, Constance pulled her hair over her eyes and crossed her arms and dropped into the bench. Oh, Connie girl, Kay said after a pause. I'm so sorry. Me too, said Sticky. Me too, Constance, said Rennie. Ty whispered, me too, just to be included. The older three looked at one another, alternately nodding and shaking their heads. At last, Kate said, I'm going to tell her. Rennie said, I don't think... But Kate Arbosh arched, interrupting him. Rennie, what did we just talk about? Rennie bit his lip. Constance had parted her hair and was looking up at Kate with hooded eyes. Tell me what? Kate stepped over to the bench and knelt before Constance. First of all, you shouldn't feel that way about Rennie. The whole thing was his idea. What whole thing? Before I tell you, is it true that what you just said to us, you're absolutely positively sure you can keep the listener out of your head and out of ties as well, and you will make absolutely certain to keep focusing on that, no matter what? Because there's a lot riding on this, you know, but whatever you tell me, I'm going to trust you. We're all going to trust her, right, boys? Rennie and Sticky nodded. Ty waited to see what they would do, and now he nodded too. Constance rolled her eyes. Yes, I'm absolutely positive sure, and I will make absolutely certain. Okay then, well? Kate clapped her hands against her knees. Constance, my dear, this whole thing is a trap. The keep is a trap. A trap for Tenman. Ty gasped. You see, Kate went on, a long time ago, Mr. Biddick mentioned to us that Mr. Curtin and the Tenman had surely established a plan for breaking out if they were captured. It wasn't likely they could ever succeed, but as long as the Katz brothers were on the loose, there was always a chance. We didn't know what they were looking for, but we knew it was probably something that would help them free their comrades. And it was Rennie who said that there should be a trap waiting if that ever happened. Constance was shaking her head in confusion. Why? How? Well, you can imagine that Mr. Biddick tapped his nose at this. He'd already been thinking along the same lines, of course. But it was Rennie who made the point, and Sticky and I backed him up on it, and if this ever happened, we were absolutely going to be involved. Certain things had to be kept secret from us, this was understood, but we insisted that Mr. Biddick keep us in mind and his plans developed. We made solemn vows that no matter the time or place, whether it was soon or decades later, whether it seemed as safe as a bedtime story, or as dangerous as we could imagine, the three of us were going to be involved. We talked about this with our parents, too. They weren't keen on the idea, of course, but in the end they all agreed. After what we've been through together, after all we've done, they kind of had to. Even though it would be dangerous, Constance asked, I don't understand. And how is this supposed to make me feel better? I can't tell you're trying to, but it sounds like more than one thing you didn't include me in. It really does, Ty chimed in unhelpfully. That's because it's all about you, Constance, Kate said, taking Constance's hand and squeezing it. Constance stared. It what? Kate looked over her shoulder at Sticky and Rennie. Shouldn't we all be telling this together? They nodded and came closer, and Sticky said, We knew that if the Tin Man got loose, you would never be safe, not for the rest of your life. There's no greater threat to a bunch of sneaky criminals' plans than a telepath, right? And no greater tool for them, Kate added. If they could capture you and use you for their own purposes? We also knew, Sticky continued, that we would never let you face that threat alone. Rennie's idea was that if we were all going to end up in danger anyway, why not create them, so that we would have the advantage? Constance sat in stunned silence, her eyes drifting from face to face. Privately, we thought this as our biggest project ever, Rennie said. He smiled. We figured you could write a poem about it. Constance started shaking her head. I don't know what to say. Why were you keeping this all from me? You kept it a long secret before you knew about the listener. Why not tell me? The others hesitated. Searching their faces, Ty said, Oh, they didn't tell you because they thought that if they tried this and somebody ended up getting hurt, you would blame yourself. They didn't want you to feel bad. Constance burst into tears. Well, I think it's good we have this little talk, Kay said, patting Constance's hand. Now how about we do a quick round of hugs, get these bad guys locked up, catch up with Mr. Benedict, and call it a night. Kate's plan was quickly initiated. There were hugs all around with Constance crying freely the whole time, and promises of full explanations later, and in Rennie's case, one last apology. First came Constance's sobbing apology to him, which she murmured into his ear as she hugged him, dampening his shoulder with her tears, and unfortunately, a fair amount of snot. But when she pulled away, Rennie held onto her shoulders and looked her in the eye. You don't owe me an apology, he said. Also, you're right. I haven't been doing a good job of including you lately. Not just because of this big secret, but because I've been worried about myself too much. I'm really sorry. Constance sniffed and wiped at a ruddy nose. We just get used to things, she said. I'm used to helping me out. But I shouldn't complain about being treated like a little kid, and then be mad because you aren't treating me like a little kid. Rennie chuckled. It's complicated, especially when you're a genius telepath. I'll cut you some slack if you cut me some. It's a deal, Constance said. You're supposed to shake hands when you do deals, Ty said matter-of-factly. And so Rennie and Constance shook hands, which Ty found very satisfying. We're down to 7 minutes, Sticky said. We should get ready. This makes us nervous, Ty declared, hopping from one foot to the other. Kate put an arm around him and gave him a squeeze. Yes, it does, Rennie said. He looked at Sticky, who bent over the desk, hurriedly scribbling with a pen and paper that Kate had given him from her bucket. You sure about this? If it goes wrong? Sticky looked up at him. I'm sure. I understand the risk. This is what we're doing, Rennie. Rennie rubbed his furrowed brow. But if it goes wrong? Rennie, this is what we're doing. Sticky handed him the paper. That's from the Gold Key. With luck, I can join you. But if not, well, you'll do your thing. Rennie stared at the paper. He gave a tight nod. I'll do my best, but, George, do try to be there, won't you? I mean, Stiggy laughed nervously. You mean if I don't join you, it will be because I'm suffering untold horrors? Don't worry, Rennie, you can count on me trying to be there. Rennie couldn't bring himself to laugh. Promise me? I don't know. Promise me whatever you can. Stiggy clapped his hands on Rennie's shoulders. I promise. Let's do this. The two embraced. Kate slid her bucket from her belt and passed it to Ty. You guys are going to need this, she said. Thanks for letting me borrow it. But it's yours, Ty said, giggling. I think you should wear it all the time the way you used to. I like it better. Kate tousled his hair. I think you may be right, she turned to Stiggy. I just had a little thought. I don't suppose you could disable the warning systems for the barriers. I would say that's a gigantic thought, Stiggy said, and it might be possible. I'll see what I can do. With 5 minutes left to go, they all wished one another luck. Kate went to the door leading back to the exercise room. Stiggy gave Rennie his backpack and sat down at the computer. Beads of perspiration trembled on his scalp. He was taking slow, deep breaths. Constance, Rennie, and Ty went to the other door. On three, Kate suggested. Everyone nodded except Constance, who was looking at Rennie and frowning. What's wrong? She asked. Nothing, nothing, Rennie said, shaking his head. I can tell you later. All right, Kate? On three. He was thinking about SQ's feet, Ty whispered. Are we doing this countdown or not? Kate asked, for Rennie was trying to keep Ty out of his head for some reason. The distraction would certainly help. Ty, do you want to start us off? Okay, said Ty, and he began. One. The others all joined in. Two. Then Rennie groaned and said, wait. He looked at Constance with a pained expression. I don't want to suggest this. Constance blinked. She stared at him and then said, oh, of course. I know you want to get to Mr. Benedict as soon as possible, Rennie said, and this is much riskier, but... No, of course, this makes the most sense. It's our best chance of succeeding. Constance gave him a quick hug and hurried across the room to join Kate. I'm coming with you, she said. No offense, but I'm much better bait than you are, and I can nudge them when we go to make them think we're joining up with the others. They'll follow us for sure. They'll have no reason to come this way. Stiggy let a gush of air. Oh, wow, I like this plan. Oh, my goodness. He took the cloth from his pocket and patted his deep scalp. Thank you, Rennie, Constance said. Rennie nodded. Stay safe, you two. They all looked appreciatively at one another, and then expectantly at Ty, who caught the hint. Three!